Father, we thank you for all the saints in your house,
amen,
worshiping you.
Amen.
We pray that you will really have the enjoyment,
amen,
that our singing will not be just some songs,
amen,
but there is the content of reality.
Amen.
Oh, we pray that your church will be glorious,
amen,
full of the Spirit,
amen,
full of the experience of the reality of Christ.
Amen.
The church, the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Abba, Father. Really, it's so wonderful.
Amen.
The church has to be something glorious.
Amen.
Right? This is really what will satisfy the Father's heart.
Amen.
May the Lord really bring us from glory to glory.
Amen.
It's not glorious enough yet, because there are more stations of glory. Let us go from station of glory to glory.
Amen.
Until we reach the goal.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's come back to the outline concerning the matter of reality. You know, the Gospel of John is a really wonderful gospel, because it is not just talking about being saved. It's talking about life. And this life has a purpose, so that we can be the true worshippers. So that absolutely at the very end, our God and Father will be satisfied. That is why immediately after the Lord has accomplished everything, he died on the cross, he rose again the third day, Mary wants to touch him. Says, no, don't touch me. You should not be the first one to touch me, but the Father. So he told Mary, but hey, quickly go to Jerusalem, tell my brethren, now it's not just his disciples. And his disciples are no longer just disciples, and they became his friends first, and now all of a sudden the disciples are his brethren. Wow, what do you want to be? A brother of Jesus, or a disciple of Jesus, or do you want to be a student or a friend? Don't you want to be a brother of Jesus? Is Jesus just your Savior, or is he your big brother? Oh my goodness, you've got a big brother. When Satan comes to you want to do something, hey, I'll take you to my big brother. I assure you, he's going to run away. Tell him, don't you know who my big brother is? Don't you know my big brother? What do you think Satan will do? He'll tell you, goodbye, goodbye, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, go and tell my brethren. What is your relationship with Christ? No hand. Who is your brother? Don't say, just him. I know he's your brother. But you know, he's a small brother. Look at his size. Well, you have a much bigger brother. And he's sitting on the throne. He's the King of Kings. Don't you realize who your brother is? Why, we don't know the Lord Jesus that well. Oh, my goodness. I got a wonderful brother. He's a big brother. Don't mess with me, okay? You should tell Satan, don't mess around with me. You know why? I got a big brother. Well, if your brother is President Obama sitting there in the White House, you think people want to mess around with you? I don't think so. They will not think not only twice, but 2,000 times before they try to mess around with you. What a wonderful Christ we have. Go and tell my brethren. If I were Mary, what? Who are they? I didn't know you have many brethren. I know you only have two brothers, James and Jude, but they are not really brethren. No, you tell, who am I? Am I going to run and tell James and Jude? No, because the Lord tells them, tell them what? I go to my God, and now he is your God. And to my Father, and now your Father. So now the Father did not just have the only begotten Son. Now He has now the firstborn. The only begotten became the firstborn. Why do you call Him the firstborn? Because now there are many more. If He's the only begotten, I don't have to ask you, how many sons do you have? Only begotten. But if He's many, I would ask you, who is the firstborn? Ah, praise the Lord. Now, we are the many brethren whom you should be proud, hallelujah. Don't you know who my big brother is? Ah, this is so wonderful. My, what a wonderful Christ we have. Right? So, you have to really see this rich Christ. A wonderful Christ. Our relationship with Him is a multiple relationship. Such a wonderful Christ we have. My, don't you enjoy? Don't you know who my big brother is? You have a big uncle. The Lord is so wonderful. I go to my Father now. And He is your Father. My God and your God now. So, wow, my, we have the same Father. So now He is also our Father. No wonder when they ask the Lord how to pray, the Lord says, you pray this way. Say, our Father. Our Father. Do you know the Father? Or do you know, you just know Jesus? Don't say, oh, Jesus is my Father. Jesus is, no, I'm your brother. But God is your Father. 你不要说神是我的哥哥，神是你的父，但是耶稣基督你可以说是你的大哥。 You can say that. Don't say God is my brother. Don't say that. The Bible never says God is your brother. But the Bible says Jesus is your brother. He's the firstborn Son of God. But God is definitely your Father. Oh, wonderful triune God. Don't mix it up. Don't say, oh, Father, oh, no, oh, brother, oh, Father, God is my brother. No, 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 oh, Jesus is my Father. No, no, no. Don't mix it up, okay? We are the brethren of the Lord Jesus. He's the firstborn, and God is our Father. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Oh, Naomi, don't you know we have the same Father? And we, both you and I, we got a big brother. Oh my, this is a wonderful supernatural relationship. Super. Anyway, I don't want to be distracted. We shouldn't be distracted by that, right? We're talking about worshiping the Father. Now, why do I say this? Because you have to know the Father to worship Him. The object of all worship. But many of you, Father, just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Lord Jesus, I worship you. But Father, what about the Father? The Lord says, worship the Father. The Lord did not say, well, I am waiting and seeking for a true worshiper to worship me. The Lord didn't say that. But He says, the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now, do you have the Father in your daily experience of this wonderful living God? You only say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. But the Bible says when the Spirit of His Son comes into your heart, you automatically cry out, Lord Jesus. No? No. Well, how do you cry out? What does the Spirit cry out? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. My, this is the most sweetest, wonderful relationship with God. You know, I miss my father until this very day, although he's not here anymore, my earthly father. My father. Now, praise the Lord. But I have a living father, far greater father. is the Father who is in heaven, my Father. And now he is no longer just in heaven, he is also in me. Abba, Father. Why? The Father is seeking such to worship him. And the Lord did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For what? So that you'll be saved. So that you can, you'll be born again. Well, now you have the Spirit, and wonderful. Now you're a Christian. Is that what the Lord says?
No.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can be a Christian but be believing in me. Is that what he says? No, what did he say? And do you do that? How often? Once a week after the Lord's table. Do you say many times a day, Abba, Father, I love you. I want to know you more. I want to come near to you. Right? Where is Stefan today? Oh, at home. Oh, Father with the children. So wonderful. Father at home with the children. Oh. You know, when I was in Germany, every time I come home, you know what my little daughter would do? Jump on me. Like a koala bear. This is so wonderful. So good to be a father. Do you jump on the father like a koala bear? Abba, Father. Jump on him like a koala bear. Have you ever done that? To your heavenly father? I always told my grandchildren, give me a hug. Come on, give grandpa a hug. Give me a hug. She said, no. She said, no. She didn't want to hug me. Oh my goodness. But actually she wanted to. She just wanted to play with me. The more I want her to hug me, the more she doesn't want to hug me. She's just playing around. And then when I don't want to hug him, then she comes and want to hug me. Then I said, no, I don't want to hug you. But I love to hug her. Is that your relationship with the Abba Father? Do you know this Abba is a very sweet term? Abba. Abba. Is that your relationship with the Father? The Father seeketh such to worship him. If you don't love him, how are you going to worship him, to honor him? If you want to please your Father, you have to bring this wonderful Christ to make him happy, to satisfy him. Otherwise, how are you going to satisfy him? What is he seeking for? So, in your experience with God, you have to know the Father, because he is the object of our worship. So, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That means the reason that I become Christ to save you and to do everything for you and die on the cross and rose again and everything is so that now you will become a true worshiper to go to the Father and worship him. Yes. You cannot separate John chapter 14 from chapter 4. Have you ever put these two chapters together to be a true worshiper? Because that's the only way you can go to the Father and please him and worship him. So, what is chapter 14 about? It's the practice of the real worshiper that the Father is seeking for in chapter 4. I have no way to express this to you. You always use John chapter 14 as preaching the gospel. Oh, you cannot be saved. The only way you can be saved is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you cannot be saved. You cannot go to the Father. Right? How often do you use John 14 for the gospel? Many times, I guess, right? Do you? Oh, I use it many times. But it's, strictly speaking, not for the gospel. It's for the real worship. Let's go to John chapter 14. First of all, what is the first point of worship? It's the place. And where is that place? Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? Who dwells there? The Father, God. It's the Father's house, the church. The Father's house, Jerusalem. The dwelling place of God. So what is John chapter 14 talking about? Let's start. Tell me. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Why? Believe in what? My Father's house. All of a sudden he talks about the Father's house. What are you going to do in the Father's house? Play ping pong? Ping pong the Father's house. Worship. Worship. It's not talking about going to heaven. No. In my Father's house, unfortunately, it says there are many mansions. People love mansions. You know, the translators use mansions. My goodness. Oh, you're like a villa, eh? It's for yourself, right? What does it say here? Well, the version even say there is a footnote. The mansions is dwellings, the abodes, and dwellings. How many dwellings, how many abodes are there? Tonight you can count already how many abodes, and there are many more. You are one of them. If you look at the temple built by Solomon, or you go to Ezekiel, you look at the temple that's going to be built in the millennial kingdom. My, there are so many abodes, so many rooms. Now, how about in the heavenly abode? Now, today we are the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly temple, the church, the house of the living God. You are a dwelling place. Are you not? Are you not? Did not Paul says? Paul says in 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, you are the temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 7, God dwells in us. We are the temple of the living God. So, what are you? How about you? How about you? How many abodes does he have? Many. You're not God. You're just a man. So you have an apartment. I have a house. I just have one room and guest room and children's room. Maybe a little office, kitchen, and that's it. because I'm a small man. My, the living God, the wonderful God, His abode. The Father's house. What do we do in the Father's house? You have to go back to the scriptures. You go to Jerusalem, the place where God has chosen to put His name there. He's going to dwell there. And you go there to what? Worship. So what is chapter 14 talking about? Going to heaven? In my Father's house. My, now you realize. You're clear? Naomi, are you clear? What do you do in your Father's house? Worship Him. How? What is the way? What is the way? And where I go, you know. And the way you know, Thomas says, we do not know. Boy, are you Thomas? Chapter 14, verse 5. But Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? We are like that. We are like that. Aren't you like that? Many people do not know where they're going, so they go anywhere and everywhere. They go anywhere they see, because they don't know where to go. Right? And then they don't know the way. They don't know where it is in Fountain Valley. They don't know where to go. What is the address? Nobody knows. So you just go to the place of your choice. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Oh, Jesus says, very simple. I am the way. What? You are the way? The way? The Lord is the way? What way? My, the Lord is the way. And I'm the reality. I'm the way. The living way. The living person is the way. Because without Him, how can you go to the Father? Because He's the one who accomplished the redemption, opened the way, right? Otherwise you cannot enter into the Holy of Holies. It's a new and living way now, not the old way. In the old way, only once a year the great high priest can go in. That's the old way. Too bad you're not the great high priest. You're not of the tribe of Levi, and of the tribe, you're not of the son of Aaron, and the son of Aaron, you are not that, you're the great high priest. So, too bad, it's not your turn, sorry. Better luck next year. My goodness, that's not a good way. Right? So, get rid of that way. And now, I am the way, the Lord says. Can you go in through Him? You have Him? Jesus? Do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? You have Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You, how about you? Do you know Jesus? You know Jesus? So, you have the way. Now, everyone can go in. In the old way, sorry, one's a year, only one guy. Too bad you're not and I'm not. Look at my nose, it's so flat. So I can't be, I'm not qualified, I'm disqualified to go in. But today, hallelujah, my goodness, we all have the way now. Praise the Lord. The veil was torn. The Lord opened the way now. He is the way for you to go into the Holy of Holies. And I'm the reality, I'm the truth. Because I'm the reality of all these offerings now. You can bring me as the offering to meet the Father, to please Him, to offer it up to Him. He didn't say, I'm the way, the dollars. Forget about the dollars. He's not the dollar, but He's the reality of all the wonderful offerings that God required from you. I'm the reality. Because the Father wants the true worshippers who worship in spirit and in reality. And the spirit, what gives life? It is the spirit that gives life. So the life is the spirit. Something that is living. Don't bring anything that is not living to the Father. Anything that is not living is an offensive to Him. Don't bring anything that is death to Him or that is dead to Him. No, no, please don't. And what gives life? It is the Spirit that gives life. In the Gospel of John, it's chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. My, now, the Lord has opened up in chapter 14 this wonderful way. More specific now than in chapter 4. Now, he's so specific as such a wonderful living way to worship the Father. Now, you know where the Father's house is. Poor Thomas, he says, I don't know. How to get there? I don't have the address. I don't know the address. I don't know the way. The Lord said, don't worry. No, wait. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the reality of all these wonderful offerings. And I'm the life, the spirit that gives life. That is living. Today we must be people who cannot stand death. You know, especially the Chinese, they don't want to live near the cemetery. Right? You want to live near the cemetery? 中国人不喜欢住在那个 买葬人的地方，对不对？很便宜哦，你要买房子。 Oh, so the house near the cemetery are all very cheap. Because they're superstitious, they don't want to live near the cemetery. That's not a place of the living. Now, here today, as a living Christian, where do you want to go? Worship near the cemetery? Don't say, oh, they teach the Bible. Oh, the teaching is not that. The good dead teaching. No life. I am the way, the truth, the reality, and the life. No one, there's no other way, comes to the Father. Don't do it in any other way. Don't do it in the Catholic way. Don't do it the Protestant way. Don't do it in a divisive way, in a denominational way. Don't do it in your own way, not in the flesh, not in the self. No, no other way. No way. No one can come to the Father. Wow, very exclusive. You believe that? Praise God. Now there's the two of us. Do you believe? Now there's three of us. We all should believe that, right? Oh, the Bible is really wonderful, I tell you. Many times when I'm reading the Bible, my hair all stands up. Because, oh, I said, my goodness, oh Lord, how come I didn't see that before? Wow, what is it like that? Wow, my goodness. This is really so wonderful. Because this is what the Father is seeking for. No one comes to the Father but through me. Through me as the way. Through me as the reality of all the offerings. Through me as the spirit of life. Now, the Lord is that spirit. And the place is the Father's house today, which is the church. My, a wonderful chapter. John chapter 40. Oh, this is so sweet, so wonderful. My, and really, the Lord made it through. Now, he says, I go to my Father, your Father, to my God, and your God. And when he came back, what did he do? He breathed into the believers, into his disciples, and says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Did he give them a long message? No. Peace be with you. That's all. My, one breath is better than a million words. We gave a million messages, but no breath. But the Lord didn't say much word. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And then he's gone. But we, after 2 hours of speaking, I'm not gone, you're not gone. But we're all dead. We're dead. No breath. We're trying to catch the breath. No breath. What would you prefer? A long message or one breath? One breath of life. Receive the Holy Spirit. My goodness, I wish I could do that. Isn't that wonderful? Who can do that? But this life-giving Christ, who is not a spirit, oh, this is too wonderful. This is really too wonderful. Right. Such a wonderful gospel. Oh, what would we do without the gospel of John? We will not ever have a chance to become the true worshipers. And this is what salvation is all about. Really? You're safe to do what? To be a true worshiper. To come to the Father. To have such a wonderful relationship. To please Him. And finally to do His will. To be fully one with Him. Just like the Lord on this earth. That is why the first offering was what? The sin offering?
No.
Trespass offering?
No.
Peace offering? Nope, what?
The burned
offering. My, such a wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is 100% to please the Father. I want to be a person who pleases the Father. But how can I be such a person? By taking Christ now as such a burned offering. But if I don't care to come to the Father to please Him, I don't need a burnt offering. I don't need a burnt offering. If it's just for the forgiveness of my sin, I can jump from Leviticus 1 to 4 and 5, and that's it. Why do I need the burnt offering for? If I don't care how I live today and to change my whole human life and want to be really perfect like the Lord is, I don't need the meal offering. I want to live my own life. I want to go to movies, I want to go dancing, I want to go to this, and bam, 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 and bam, 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 and I want to go do everything, then I don't need a meal offering. I don't need to. I just need forgiveness. I don't even need the sin offering, I just need trespass offering. Finally, you don't need anything. At the end, you just cancel all the offering. You're saved, that's it. You don't need anything. You don't need, why do you need anything for? because your goal is not to please the Father and to worship Him. So what do you need all these offerings for? You just need Christ to die for you, and He did. That's it. It's free. You will receive it already. You're saved. It's not of works, not of what you do. It's a free gift, and so that nobody can boast. You're saved. You're safe, you're safe. Then what do you need all these offerings for? It's not for you. It's for the worship of the Father. That's why many Christians don't care. They don't care. I'm safe. What do you want? I'll go to heaven. That's good enough. Meanwhile, I'm waiting. I can do this and do that, be that, do that, live my own life. And when the Lord comes back, shoot, I'll be raptured. You think so? Better think twice. And come and read this. Now everything falls in place. Right, Nanny? Is it clear? Super clear? At least clear. Not super yet, but at least clear. Don't think this is just a conference. No, I don't care for conference. I want to see the church and all of us becoming the true worshipers. Right, Jasmine? Clear? All of you, clear? Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what the first offering is, a burnt offering. And the burnt offering shows us our living Christ is one that pleases the Father in everything. So if you want to experience Christ as a burnt offering, you should have an attitude, Lord, I want to live a life that is well pleasing to the Father. I want to do the Father's will. God created me not for this world, not for apple, not for oranges, not for Tesla. Cisco. Close enough, right? But for His heavenly kingdom, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Wow, if you have such an outlook in your life, you need to know the Lord as a burnt offering. Many, many years ago, when the Lord, the God of glory, appeared, I said, Amen. Drop everything. Nothing is worth it. What? What is worth it? Nothing. Nothing is worth it. Once you see that, you say, Lord, I want to be like you, a person that is well-pleasing to the Father. I want to do the Father's will. I want to learn obedience. I want to know the Father. I want to serve Him with a pure heart. I don't want to be for myself. I don't care what people say. I want to know what is in the Father's heart. And I want to make it. Praise the Lord. By His mercy, I'm still for the church. And I'm still nothing. Isn't that good? It's good to be nothing. You want to be nothing? The Lord left everything. He left all the glory. He left everything. He lowered Himself. He became not only a human being, He became a slave. Without any reputation. How about that? You want a reputation? What reputation can you have? This is to know Christ as the burnt offering. How wonderful it is. I do not regret going this way. May not be the easiest way, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow, every time that you're doing something that is not well-pleasing, the Lord will tell you, stop. Come to me. This is not according to the Father's will. Everything that is wrong, no, don't follow that. It'll bring you to destruction. No, stop. Stop. But we don't listen to Him. We listen to everybody else. We listen to so many things, and except we don't listen to Him. No, you need to follow the Lord. If you tell me you're doing something and God the Father told you to do it, I dare not say no. Okay. Then you follow Him. I'm not God. God appears to you, talks to you. Can you imagine if Abraham talks to his cousin? You know, the God of glory appeared to me last night and told me to get out of here. If I'm the cousin who played with Abraham all the time, no way. What do you mean you're going to leave us here? How can God, who loves us so much, tell you to leave us? That cannot be God's will. So what is Abraham going to do? Abraham should say, Cousin John, are you God? Are you God? I'm not God. If any one of you tells me, God tells me to go to... Where is Sarah? Oh, boy, I was blind tonight. I was looking for you. Where are you going for university? Why go so far? Irvine is also UC and it's right next to home. You can even stay home. Right? The Lord cannot be so impractical. Your home is right here, Irvine is right there, and you go to San Diego. I don't believe this is God's will for you, Sarah. You should listen. You're right. I admit, I'm not God. I'm just your grandfather. But I'm not God. God is above me. He tells you to go, you go. What am I going to say? Suppose God really tells her to go and I said, no, listen to your grandpa. Grandpa is wiser. More practical. Save money. Are you making a lot of money? You see? Do you have a car to drive back and forth? No. You have to pay for your dorm? Yeah. But here you're free. Right? You have to pay at home? Your mother charge rent? You need a car to go to Irvine University? Oh, yeah, yeah, you can catch a ride to, you know, who is there? Sophia is there. Okay, take the bus. Right? So, have you ever considered to be practical? Good. Why didn't you choose the practical, reasonable way?
Because that's not what the Lord told me.
Really? You know that's what my parents told me. How can it be God's will for you not to finish your medical school? Isn't it more reasonable you finish medical school and then serve God? My mother was talking to me, weeping until about 2:30, 3 o'clock at night for a week. What am I going to do? Well, the Lord told me, drop it, serve me. So I told Mama, I know if it's up to me, I would really want to do that. That's what I went to Germany for. But what can I do? God appeared to me and His speaking to me was so clear, crystal clear. So what am I going to listen to, my reasoning and to my mom's begging with tears, talking to me until 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning for one whole week every night? You think I'm a disobedient, not honoring my parents? You know, the Chinese, they follow Confucius' way and they're so confused about everything else except honoring the father and the mother. That's the top one. What do you want me to do? Should I follow my mother or should I follow God? You tell me. Huh? What do you think? What do you think I should do?
Follow God.
I'm glad you confirmed it, because I did. That is, take Christ as your burnt offering. You please God. It's never wrong to please God. That's why I'm still here today. Aren't you happy that we're here having fellowship? The first offering. I wasn't that perfect. Not Superman. I'm nothing, I'm nobody. But I want to be one who pleases God. You don't have to be somebody to please God. Oh, to learn to take Christ as my burnt offering. You should tell the Lord, Lord, I want to take you as my burnt offering. That's the foremost, that's the top offering. Everything of that offering, nothing is left except the skin for you. Everything else of the burnt offering, nothing is left for the priest or anybody to enjoy, because every part of that offering is burned up as a sweet savor for the enjoyment of God the Father. And the one who offered it get the skin. Because then Christ becomes that which is well-pleasing to God. Then when God sees you, he sees Christ. He doesn't see you. Because now you are covered with him. So, even you become invisible. How about that? You want to be invisible? Where's Vincent? Where's Vincent? We don't have Vincent anymore in the church life. What do we have? Really? You want to disappear? When you put on Christ, you're gone. It's no longer I that live. Can you say that? When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, did he live himself? Was he ever for once for his own glory? Was he out to please himself? Take a cruise to Egypt? No, he fled to Egypt. He didn't cruise to Egypt. Yeah, he didn't take a vacation to see the pyramids. He was going to be killed. Herod was going to kill him, so he fled. He didn't even go by himself. His parents, Joseph, took him. I don't think the Lord Jesus had any impression of Egypt. Then he came back after Herod died. He went, grew up, not in Jerusalem, but in Nazareth, a place where there is absolutely nothing. No spiritual history. What? You read and look into the history. Anything good came out of Nazareth? You want to grow up in Nazareth? If God had a choice, you have a choice. Where do you want to grow up? New York, of course. The Chicago, number two, second choice. San Francisco, the third choice. Then maybe Los Angeles, Hollywood. Beverly Hills. Ah. You will not choose Nazareth to be a nobody, to be a nothing. Everything is chosen by God for him. Praise the Lord. Such is really the burnt offering. Amen. You need to know the Lord as such an offering. Little by little. Not all at once, but little by little. You learn. Amen, Lord. Learn to say amen. In your living, in your life, you have a lot of choices. Choose him. The Lord will never force you. You have to choose him. The Lord came willingly because he loves the Father. It's well-pleasing to the Father. The Father did not force the Lord Jesus to come. Just like Abraham did not force Isaac. And Isaac willingly let himself be bound to be offered up. What a wonderful relationship. The Father has given up his only begotten Son. What a wonderful burned offering. If you have never made such a choice, you will not really appreciate what the burned offering is. So in your whole life, you have to learn to make a basic, principal choice. An important choice. I want to be for God. Father. Although I'm not worthy, although I'm not strong, although I'm not capable, but I want to, in spite of all, be for you. This is consecration. And Christ, in the whole Bible there, you can see, is our consecration. The priest, every one of the priests, have to take a consecration offering. And Christ is that consecration. Because your own consecration, tomorrow morning, you change your mind already. Peter says, I will go with him. A few hours later, he changes his mind. But the Lord never changed his mind. Even though he was going to die on the cross, he didn't change his mind. For me, at the very end, oh my goodness, they're going to crucify me, forget it. I changed my mind. Sorry. The Lord never changes mind. Isn't that good? Don't think you must be very strong to have such a consecration. No, you take Christ as your consecration. Christ is your burnt offering. That kind of burnt offering will last forever. It's a long lasting forever. It's not changing like a weather. Today it's hot, tomorrow it's cold. The next day it's snowing and all of a sudden it's raining and all of a sudden it's tough to be a weatherman. Because you have to change all the time. No, but Christ as your consecration, Christ as your burnt offering, everything is prepared by God. So when the Lord came to this earth, all his schedule from the day he was born to the day he died was arranged by God. Even how he is to die, God already wrote it. And I always make a joke, poor Judas, you know, he betrayed Jesus only for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, you're doing such a big job for only 30 pieces of silver, that's the price of a slave. If I'm going to do that dirty job, I want 30 million pieces of silver. Might as well, right? Might as well charge 30 pieces of silver. And I mean 30 million pieces of silver. But he can't. You know why he can't? Not because he's not greedy, but because it's written in the Bible, 30 pieces. So he had no choice. You want me to do that dirty job for 30 pieces? No, you ask Vincent to do it. I'm not going to do such a job for 30 pieces of silver, my goodness. You do it. So, I don't know why that Judas is so greedy beyond measure, he would do it for 30 pieces of silver. But, you know, it is already prearranged by God. Not one cent more. And not one cent less. God's word must be fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a choice, but the Lord didn't. His brother said, why don't you go to Jerusalem? You're so popular. The Lord says, what did the Lord say? Your time is over there, but my time is not come. He doesn't follow his own schedule. He follows the Father's schedule. What about you? How he should die? Only by crucifixion, because it's written in Psalm 22. No other way. If the Lord died of heart attack, that would be a tragic. There would be no salvation. Because his death must be through crucifixion. He must, his side must be pierced. So, and when he's supposed to die, that year already determined in Daniel chapter 9, towards the end of that time, the Messiah will be cut off, crucified. The Lord can say, Father, I want to visit Nazareth one more time, okay? I have a lot of friends there, and then I'll come back. Give me one more extra week. Sorry, no one extra week. The time has come, that's why the Lord went to Jerusalem directly. People trying to stop him, he said, no. He went straight to Jerusalem. Because he has to meet that appointment, deadline. It's a real deadline because he's supposed to die there. That's the deadline. How wonderful it is. Now, how about you? How about us, Sharon? We go according to our schedule or do we go according to his schedule? You never ask the Father, right? What is your schedule? You know, I was not going to give this conference because I have a rashes. So I told the brother, right? I called you, John. Be prepared. I may not be able to give this conference, but it's not my choice. It's not my choice. You know, why I spend so much time for this first offering? Because it's the most important. The rest of the offerings you can understand, but many of the people, they do not understand what it meant to enjoy Christ as a burnt offering. It's not just, oh, you serve the Lord. Many people serve the Lord because they like to. But then you serve the Lord, why do you serve according to your concept? Why don't you go on? Why are you stuck? Why didn't the Lord appear to you and give you fresh, new, living, wonderful revelation, how to go on? Why do you serve according to tradition? Why are we so presumptuous? No, we serve Him, we have to follow Him, do whatever He says. I have no say. I have no say. I just want to know what the Father wants to say, and that's it. And if you listen, you listen. If you don't listen, that's fine with me. You don't offend me. Really, you don't offend me. Right. This is a burnt offering. Look at the Lord and you will know. What is Christ as my burnt offering? He had no choice because it was the Father's choice. His words are not His own. His works are not His own. His time is not in His own hand. His choice is in the Father's hand. Why did the Lord have to rise up the third day? Why not the fourth, fifth, sixth? Huh? Because the Father already decided that. The third day. The Lord can have said, Father, may I sleep one more day? Please give me one more day. One more hour. Or two more hours. How about that? Two more hours or three more hours. You know, the Lord, Father will not allow that. Why? Because after 28 hours, your body disintegrates. Becomes corrupted. And stinking, and it's written, you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. So the third day is not 24 hours a day, no. The Lord died at the end of the first day. Because the Jewish day begins at 6 o'clock. So the first day is not in the morning, right? But when the Lord died, it was at the end of the day, shortly before 6 o'clock. So the first day when He was crucified, it was just maybe 1 or 2 hours. Then He died, and that was Sabbath. So that was a Sabbath rest. It's very meaningful because Sabbath is a rest. So that's whole 24 hours. And early in the third day, that's the beginning. So there's another 1 hour maybe. So altogether, 26, 27 hours at most. And His body never saw corruption. So if the Lord says, Father, oh please, I'm so tired after so much serving You for so many years and suffered so much. Please give me another 3 hours rest. sleep 3 more hours, the word of God will not be fulfilled. God's not going to perform a special miracle for the Lord Jesus to sleep 3 more hours. The Lord, Satan, will tell the Father of God, "You're cheating. You perform a miracle." No wonder the Lord cannot see corruption. He's a superhuman. Because a normal human will have corruption. Wow. What a wonderful Christ. What a wonderful God. And the Lord obeyed. So the third day he rose again. No more. He didn't see corruption, no worms, nothing. Didn't disintegrate. What a wonderful Christ. Everything according to God's schedule. And the day of Pentecost, 50 days after his resurrection, he poured out the Holy Spirit. Exactly in the day, the feast of Pentecost. Wow. God is more, how do you say it, punctlish, more punctual than the Swiss. He kept his appointment. He was really punctual. Are you that punctual? Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Can you imagine the Lord forgot? He forgot? No. When the Lord just forgets, oh my goodness, it's over. God's plan is over. What a wonderful burnt offering. Anyway, if you understand this, that's good enough. Oh, actually, I want to talk about Babylon. But I already mentioned it, Babylon, right? You just have to... 5 minutes, let's talk about Babylon. It's not worth it, mention Babylon. Because in the Bible, there's not only Babylon in the Old Testament time, but there is also a counterpart of Babylon in the New Testament age, as a spiritual Babylon. So the Bible is really one whole thing, you can see. The principle in the New Testament times followed exactly the pattern in the Old Testament times. Don't think, right? It's just in the Old Testament. No. And the principle is exactly the same. If you want to understand Babylon, you have to go back. All the way to Babel. And all the way to Nebuchadnezzar. And all the way what happened. Babylon is a place that destroyed the temple. Destroyed the holy city. And transferred all of the holy vessels to Babylon and put it in the temple of the idols. This is the principle there. And killed a lot of Christians, I mean Jews, and the rest, they brought to Babylon. Now there is also a Babylon in the book of Revelation, all of a sudden a Babylon. And God told Babylon, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of people. My people." Right? So you can really see those two chapters in Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon is very real today. It's a spiritual Babylon. And most of the Christians today are now captured in Babylon. The principle of the power there, of the captivity. And then confusion, division, dispersion, mixture, and all of that is in the principle of Babylon. And all of a sudden, in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, Babylon appeared again. Where did it come from? where did Babylon come from? It came from the degradation of the churches in Revelations 2 and 3. That is the very source, because the captivity of Babylon came in the Old Testament days because God's people degraded. And finally they were just doing according to the nations. They kept on falling until God couldn't do anything anymore. Just let them go. And Babylon came and Nebuchadnezzar came and took them all in captivity. That is what happened in the Old Testament days. Now, the New Testament Babylon is exactly the same. God, what strong words did the Lord use to rebuke the churches in Revelations 2 and 3? They didn't listen. They continue losing the first love. Then mixing up in the world, get married to the world where Satan's throne is. And then they have accepted the deeds and then the doctrines of Nicolaitans. And then they embrace the teachings and doctrines and practices of Balaam. You know, Balaam is a Gentile prophet. He really was a prophet. But he was bought by Balak to curse the people of Israel. And he was paid. At first, God told him no. So he went to Balak, says no. And Balak thought, oh, I didn't pay him good enough. So let's add some more money, some more gold. Wow, some more. Whoa, he looked at me. At first, his eyes was like a Chinese eye. He said, after more money, more gold, wow, let me go ask God again. You go ask God the second time. God already said no. You go the second time. God said go. You go. But God will send an angel who's going to kill him. To slaughter him. It's a good thing his donkey spoke in tongue. Because the donkey saw the angel of death with the sword, and you quickly duck that angel, because donkey didn't want to die, right? But a blind prophet didn't see it. So he thought, oh, this crazy donkey, what are you doing? And to his surprise, the donkey spoke. So it's not good to speak in tongues. Even a donkey can speak in tongues. It doesn't mean much. Right? Speaking in tongues. The first one who spoke in tongues was a donkey. He spoke in tongues. Well, of course, it's wonderful. You think, well, it's wonderful the donkey spoke in tongues. But the principle of Balaam, Jude says, is what? Is to prophesy for profit, money. Did not Paul says we are not like the many who peddle with the word of God. The word of God is not for sale. I hope we will not make 1 cent with the word of God. You want to make money, go to Apple. Work for Google. Or whatever Google. Go, whatever. Twiddle, Facebook. go work for them. Make your money there. Don't make your money if you're wise. Don't make your money with the word of God. Don't do it. Not worthwhile. If you do it, you will fall into the trap of Balaam. So, Balaam, we got it here. I think I wrote it down. Right? Leaving the first love, loving the world, works of Nicolaitans. You know, Nicolaitans means what? Nicolaitans means the clergy and laity. Wow, I am the clergy man, and I have power and rule over the saints, the people, because this word Nicolaitans in Greek is a combination of two words. It's Nicolaus. You know, Nicolaus. Have you ever heard of the name Nicolaus? Oh, of course. You know, that in December, St. Nicolaus, Christmas time, you know, that man with a red suit and Santa Claus, we call him Klaus. In German, it's Nikolaus. It's this word, Nicolaitan. Right? Nicolaus. You know what Nicolaus means? it makes of two words called Nikao, means conquer, to rule over. Laos means people. You rule over people and the clergy. You have all listened to me. Hey, don't you know I'm the elder? You want to do anything in the church life? You come to me first, okay? You don't want to come to me? You're rebellious?
No.
Then come to me. Isn't he rebellious? You don't want to come to me? You need my permission, brother. I'm appointed by the Lord. So you better learn to listen, okay? Young man, how old are you?
23.
You know how old I am? Better listen to me, okay? Be a good boy. You know what I'm practicing? I am Saint Nicholas. In other words, I'm Santa Claus. Do we have a Santa Claus here? That's a Mickey Mouse. No. We don't practice that in the church life. We're all brothers. One is our master. We are all brothers. Right. We fellowship in the Lord. That's it. That's all. We don't rule. We don't reign. No one is a king. Christ is the head over all things to the church appointed by God. That's it. We respect one another. Right. So this is what we learned. And the Lord says, you tolerated the works of Nicolaitans, which I hated. I, the Lord, use the word I hate. Do you hate the work of Nicolaitans? Why do you hate? Because the Lord hates it. And that's it. I don't want to do and accept what he hated. No Balaam, no Nicolaitans, no Jezebel. You tolerated Jezebel, the Lord said to Thyatira, that prophetess who called herself the prophetess. And that's referring to the Roman Catholicism. Now you have to listen to the church. You know, in a normal situation, yes, but when it becomes abnormal anymore, becomes Roman Catholicism, you don't listen to them anymore. No, because that's Jezebel now. That's no longer the church. Prophetically, Thyatira becomes Roman Catholicism. And then, having a name or reputation of being alive, but is dead, but being dead. That's why I said we need to know the living spirit. We need to be really alive. Don't be superstitious. Oh, we are all alive. Why? Because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I know a lot of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who are dead. Spiritually dead. Right. Remember, the letter kills. And then being proud and lukewarm, proud. Neither hot nor cold. And you think you know so much. I have need of nothing. That's what Laodicean says. I have need of nothing. We know everything. I'm rich. Don't you know I'm so rich? I know everything in the Bible. How long have you been reading the Bible? including your childhood, that doesn't count.
No.
What about really trying to read and understand the Bible? 10 years. You know how long I read this Bible? Does it make me more qualified than you? No. 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 Right. Don't be proud. The more you know the Lord, the more you know nothing. Like the scientists, the more they study the universe, the more they realize they don't know anything about the universe. Only those who know nothing, who are just knows a little bit, he thought they know everything. Right? But the more you know. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He who knows, he who thinks he knows nothing. So don't think you know. It only makes you proud. I'd rather be known by God. But he who loves God, the same is known of God. How wonderful it is. How good it is to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm nothing and I know nothing. Right. Don't be proud. Don't be lukewarm. And then all of these divisions, it's just like the synagogues in Babylon. That's where all the synagogues started. Because there's no more Jerusalem, no more a place chosen by God. So anybody can do whatever they want. You build your group, I build my group. There's so many groups. Anyone can have any group. New groups coming out every day among Christians. Really. So we run out of count. The synagogues. Who created all those synagogues? Book of Revelations tell us they are called the synagogues of Satan. Not that they read satanic books there. No. They read the Bible. And the rabbi teaches the Bible. And they pray to Jehovah. To Yahweh. But that whole system that they build up to do it, it's not God's design. Remember, the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, the city of the living God, the architect is who? It's God. The builder and architect is God. Now, how about the builder and architect of synagogues? The devil, Satan, rented out to the believers. Making good money. Good business. His business. So, it's called the synagogue of Satan. Because it is not God who built it. It's not designed by God. It's not according to Deuteronomy chapter 12. It's according to nowhere in the Bible. Somebody else planned it and plotted it to let you forget about Jerusalem. So, why go back to Jerusalem? Just stay in Babylon. So, not too many people. Those who have no heart to go to Jerusalem, most of it, the majority stayed in Babylon. Well, you have a nice synagogue there. Already 70 years. Aren't you used to it? Don't you feel at home there now after 70 years? And such a wonderful building. And a good rabbi. Who knows Hebrews and who knows the scriptures and tells you stories. Isn't it wonderful? Just stay in Babylon. If you go to Jerusalem, there's so much trouble there. Oh, I tell you, you get into a lot of trouble. Don't do that, okay? God is everywhere, you know. So, you say, okay. That's good. Besides, you got a job there. Your children, they're not used to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is in rubbles. In shambles, burned down. And Which place would you prefer to go? Yeah, but there's nothing there. About that. Where would you prefer? The synagogue, right? Synagogue. It's not bad. It's because you know God's word now. You know what God desires. So, you know now the whole principle of Babylon. And Revelation 18, verse 4, God calls them, come out of her, my people. Lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. That's Babylon. So, this is the end of the conference. We hopefully finish the outline in a hurry. But the main thing is, let us be the true worshippers. Amen.